outside our studios, at least a little bit, the clouds are beginning to lift. And that's extra good news because this is the time of year when we see the Perseid meteor showers, typically 60 meteors an hour, sometimes up to double that as our planet crosses the path of the comet Swift-Tuttle. It's a favorite celestial event for many. I've taken it in myself a time or two in the past. And that includes one of my absolute favorite guests, Kelly Beatty, senior editor of the Cambridge-based Sky and Telescope magazine. And Kelly joins us now from a hilltop in Washington, Maine. Kelly, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hey, Chris, thank you so much. And if I sound far away, it's because I literally am very far away.
Well, I appreciate that you climbed to the top of the hill to maximize your service. That's great to keep that connection strong. So, Kelly, tell us, first of all, the Perseid meteor shower. What causes it? What makes it special? Why is it loved by so many?
Okay, so, you know, there's a comet called Swift-Tuttle, discovered by two guys named Swift and Tuttle, that circles the sun every 133 years. And every August, we cross the orbit of that comet. Now, the comet's nowhere around where we are, but throughout its history, the comet has shed little particles of dust, and they have created a kind of racetrack of sand, if you will, around the sun, stretching out beyond the orbit of Pluto. And every mid-August, we slam into that little river of debris, and those little particles slam into our atmosphere at 37 miles a second. That's a lot of energy. It gets dissipated as superheated air, and we see those as shooting stars above our heads.
37 miles a second?
Yeah, that's New York to Boston in 6 seconds. I think
wow.
the airlines have a ways to catch up to that.
Yeah, Amtrak is jealous. Okay, so you're in Maine. I think you're probably going to have a pretty good view. For folks who are living in the city or maybe near the center of their town, what are your tips in terms of getting a good view when they're taking a look to the skies?
Right. Apart from clear skies, the name of the game is less light pollution, the better. And so if you live in the middle of the city, maybe in an apartment, you want to get somewhere outside, anywhere that's clear in the sky. It doesn't need to be in any particular direction, where there is no light falling into your eye. From street lights or porch lights, turn those off. If you can't do that, then find a location, maybe a soccer field nearby, where there aren't very many lights. And if you have the luxury, get out of town, go west, south, or north, into a dark spot, maybe a state park, because the darker your sky, the more meteors you're going to see.
All right, I hesitate to ask this because the answer is often in the wee hours of the morning, but when is the peak for folks who are looking to get the best view?
In the wee hours of the morning.
I knew you were going to say that.
and you know, the reason for that is that we call these the Perseids instead of the Swift-Tuttleids because they appear to be racing toward the Earth from the direction of the constellation Perseus. Now, Perseus rises in the northeast at about 9 o'clock, and so as soon as it starts to get really dark, you're going to start to see meteors. But throughout the night, that point in the sky that they appear to be coming from, called the radiant, gets higher and higher in the sky, and when that happens, the rate of the meteors hitting us increases a little bit.
All right, I'm going to ask a silly question. What is a meteor? What are we talking about? When you say, look at this cool, shiny thing flying across the sky, what are we looking at?
It is literally something the size of a grain of sand, maybe a little larger, pea-sized tops, that when it slams into the atmosphere at 37 miles a second, it's got a lot of kinetic energy. It's going really fast, and the atmosphere 50 to 60 miles up is enough, as thin as it is, to slow it down. And just like a boat racing through the water builds up a wake, a bow in front of it, these meteors create compress the air in front of them until the air becomes superheated, a couple of thousand degrees. And that, not the particle burning up, is what we see as that streak of light as it screams through our upper atmosphere and creates all that superheated oxygen and nitrogen.
This stuff is so cool. I wish you could see my smile in the studio right now. But so darkest sky you can to get the best view wherever you are. And I believe that means for some folks, they actually can be able to see the Milky Way pretty well as well, right?
Absolutely. And the reason I'm up here in Maine, I'm at a place called the Madomic Retreat Center. And a week every summer, I come up here with about 40 of my closest telescopic friends. We set up our telescopes. We observe all night through the incredibly dark skies of central Maine. And then we sleep all day. And so, you know, light pollution is a problem worldwide. It's a problem in the Northeast. One of the things that people can do is to, you know, be aware of the lights around them, turn them off if you don't need them. There's a bill I should mention going through the State House right now called the Dark Sky Bill, among other things, And we hope to get that passed this year. If you want to know more about it, just look it up. Ping your legislator and let them know that you're interested.
Well, we actually talked to you about that bill when you had first helped write it. Why don't you give folks a quick sense of what it's all about and why you think it's so important?
Of course. You know, a lot of people, a lot of municipalities install lighting, say to renovate a school parking lot or to put up new street lights, and that's all good. But, you know, lighting at night, we need it for safety and security, but it can often be done poorly. And so what this bill would do is set out some guidelines for towns and cities and the state in general on how to install light that is good quality, especially warmer color temperatures tend to be less environmentally harmful. It's amazing how blue light at night can screw up our sleep cycle. It can destroy fireflies. It's a waste of energy. It creates more sky glow. It's bad on all fronts. So this bill would establish some controls. It would establish some guidelines for the Department of Transportation and other things that make the general lighting environment in our state a little bit more environmentally friendly, bringing back just a few more stars.
Do you have any idea what the status of that bill is? I imagine it probably got put on hold with all the pandemic measures necessary.
In fact, it is right now sitting with a committee, a joint committee within the State House. We're awaiting a public hearing, which will be coming up probably within about a month after the summer recess. And again, one of the things that makes bills like this really successful is citizen support. So since we're dwelling on that, call your legislator, your House rep or your senator, say you support the dark sky bill, ask them to become a co-sponsor, and of course to vote for it when it comes to the floor.
Oh, that's great. I was struck by something one of our producers pointed out to me. Amanda Bielan, in preparing for the segment, sent me an article kind of talking about this idea that we've been stuck for the last year and a half in this really heavy place, and nature can kind of provide a sense that life is still continuing to move on, and that looking at the stars can help kind of give you that sense. What do you make of that?
Oh, gosh, she's absolutely right. I mean, one of the things that happened in the pandemic is people were stuck at home, often with children, and, you know, bored to tears. And they suddenly discovered that they could go outside at night, look up into the sky, and rediscover the sky, the stars. And in fact, telescope manufacturers across the country ran out of telescopes, at least the entry-level telescopes, because there was such a demand for them during the pandemic. And so absolutely people should, reacquaint themselves with how beautiful the night sky is. I'm deep into astronomy, and I tell people astronomy doesn't have to be hard. It can just be beautiful. And just gazing at the Milky Way on a summer's night with your best friends or family at your side is all you could ask for.
Always willing to boldly go where no one has gone before. That's Kelly Beatty, senior editor of Cambridge-based Sky and Telescope magazine. Kelly, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it.
A pleasure, Chris. Thanks so much.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Chris Sitterick. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.